Good morning, everyone, and you know the drill. You've got about 5 minutes or so if you don't
Good morning.
Refill your coffee.
That's what I'm gonna do.
Need to bring your pancake closer to the screen. And your bagel.
Wait, it's supposed to come up here.
Here we go.
And if you have a joy, go ahead and type that into the chat. We'd love to hear things that you may not be lighting a candle for.
My hair is all messy. Oh well.
No need to worry about your hair.
That's right.
You're glad you're yes. Here.
All that matters. It's chilly in the big house.
Judy, hi. Robert, Nancy, and Bonnie, welcome. Oh, the second shot crew.
But I can't. Okay, there, I got it.
There you go. That's beautiful.
I think some of these new photos were taken by Robert Winslow.
Oh, gorgeous.
And some of the other older photos were taken by John Schiffel. Glad to have them.
Yeah, I'm on the screen, fine.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome.
Hi, Caroline. You did your second shot.
Hi, Nate. So nice to see you.
Okay, there.
Spouse of Pedro. Hello.
Hey, everybody.
There we go.
Hi, Ev. Hi, everybody. Pedro is Liza right this minute. But
I can tell.
I'm Emmy.
Good morning, everyone.
Check out the
poppy. Good morning, everyone.
I put it
in
the camera so you can see it.
Good morning, Dennis.
Everyone say hi.
Hello, Katie.
Say hi.
Hi,
Marcia.
Hello.
Hi, Judith.
Hey, Marcia.
Hello.
Hello,
Allison.
Hi, Anne.
Hi, Anne.
Okay.
Hi, Robert.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Popsicle and yeah.
And John.
Because I couldn't get it there.
Dallas and then Lynn and Sue.
Morning, Graham.
Catherine. Oh, hey, Tom and Rogers. Hi, Drew.
Hi, John. Hi, Marilyn.
Oh, it's so good to see everyone.
I don't know what that is.
Exit
full screen, one full screen.
Right
side by side now.
Hey, can hear us.
Good morning, Catherine.
Good morning.
Hi, Dale.
Good morning. Good morning.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Started in just about maybe 2 more minutes as folks are entering.
Hi.
It doesn't come up in the
very details. Which one?
So gorgeous.
Del.
It just lists.
That's what we had before.
It's okay.
The gallery with everybody. Maybe she'll come on here. Because this is...
We're just about ready to begin. Make yourselves comfortable. We're so glad you are here.
We're glad to be here.
Go, Marcia.
Good morning. Hi, Dale.
Good morning,
hi, Bert.
Everyone.
Hi, Ken. Hi, Katie. Hi, Sarah.
Morning, Elizabeth. Morning, Tim. Anna.
Say something.
You said tribute.
This morning, the words calling us into worship come from Marta Valentin as we consider the meaning of the beloved community. We pause this morning from the chaos of the world.
To reclaim the beauty within these walls
that carry us through our week.
We lift this community onto our shoulders
with pride and grace-filled expectations
for our children
and our children's children. Let us worship together. We acknowledge that the land we gather on as a congregation, where we live, work, and play, was not freely given to us. We gather on the ancestral land of the Nuchu or Ute, Apache, the Pueblos, Hopi, Zuni, and Diné nations. We recognize the indigenous peoples as original stewards of this land. As these words are spoken and heard, the ties nations have to their ancestral homelands are renewed and reaffirmed. We acknowledge that the use of our use of and benefit from this land came at a dire cost to Native nations and peoples whose land we now inhabit. I am Katie Kandarian Morris. I'm the minister of the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Durango. I'm so grateful to be creating community with you today, people uniquely positioned to create an open place to worship and to deepen social justice in our community. We gather virtually for the time being, keeping each other safe. It is a balm being together, responding to the world's brokenness with our liberal religious values of love and justice. We gather in the spirit of covenant, meaning we need not think alike to love alike. Unitarians and Universalists have radical roots and a history as self-motivated spiritual people, thinking for ourselves and recognizing that life experience influences our beliefs more than anything. If you are new here, we welcome you. Our communications coordinator, Shannon Beaver, would love to greet you personally. So go ahead and type in the chat if you'd like to be added to our e-newsletter list. You are welcome to stay. Join us after the service is over for our informal small group virtual fellowship time. And we are kicking off our stewardship campaign. So each week for the coming month, you'll hear a brief testimonial from one of our members, hopefully inspiring your own annual giving. We will be making a commitment later on in March. Leading our service with me today is our worship team. Tim Miller serves as our worship associate today. Sarah Sauter is our interim director of faith formation, and she will be our storyteller. Shannon Beaver is our greeter. James Mirabal leads our tech support. Elizabeth Crawford leads our choir today, and our choir accompanist, Jose Duran, also will offer some music. We will also feature the Spirit Movers led by Marilyn Leftwich. We define worship as shaping things of worth. By so doing, we create community, providing opportunities for transformation.
Well, as I prepare to light the chalice today, Shannon is posting words to the affirmation in the chat line. And to let everyone acknowledge the peace of these sacred words, please keep yourself muted and join me as we say these words. Love is the doctrine of this church. The quest for truth is its sacrament, and service is its prayer. To dwell together in peace, to seek knowledge and freedom, to serve human need. For these high purposes do we unite in worship.
Good morning. I'm Cheryl Guy. I have been a UU for 20 years and about 3.5 years here at our fellowship. This is this year's stewardship flyer, which you have probably received. And our logo this year is the chalice. The chalice, the cradle that holds us in covenant to serve with love and a sense of justice. Out of the flames of fear, we rise with the courage of our deepest convictions to stand for justice, inclusion, and peace. Out of the flames of scrutiny, we rise to proclaim our faith with hope to heal a fractured and hurting world. From its inception in World War II, our chalice flame has represented a spirit of helpfulness and sacrifice. Our bonds are still formed out of just actions and loving practice. Our beloved community continues to buoy ourselves and others through these times of exhaustion and uncertainty. I thrive through so many opportunities for fulfillment here, so many avenues of connection, joy, and healing. for and with others, volunteering with our children, singing with our Divirtual Tones choir, delivering or sending notes of hope or surprises to unsuspecting members, serving on various teams and committees, working weekly with our Sunday service worship team, showing up at rallies, marches, or events for all forms of justice, and pledging dollars to help and support this meaningful work. It is joyful, and it blesses me with peace and serenity. This is my antidote to these challenging, exhausting times. We endure, we thrive in our beloved community. We joyfully look forward to gathering again in our sacred spaces. You are beloved here. You have value, and your separate fire can keep our flame kindled with your generosity of your time, your energy, your thoughts and actions, and of your generous pledging dollars. Keep your chalice, our chalice, burning brightly. Namaste.
I invite you to set your screen to gallery view now so that you can see those present, and with an attitude of reverence and hospitality, go ahead and open your microphone and let us offer a greeting of peace and welcome to those making up our congregation today. Peace be with you.
Good morning, Marcia.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, everybody.
Lovely to see everybody.
And we share our joys and sorrows in a ritual of candle lighting in community. This is a good time to switch your screen now back to speaker view. And if you are so moved, I invite you to offer a joy or sorrow of a personal nature, and I will light a candle for you. Type your name in the chat so we can identify you, and offer just a phrase or two, being mindful of others and the length of our service. I will begin today by lighting a candle of sorrow, as we have begun the tradition of each week acknowledging the COVID deaths. I know it's hard to imagine the huge number now of more than 497,000 souls who have died as a result of COVID in the United States, and the almost 2.5 million worldwide. May we light this candle.
All right, as I call on you, identify yourself in the chat that you have a joy or concern or sorrow. I have a joy that I'm going to share first, and be sure to unmute yourself. My joy is several UUs and a total of, I don't know, 60 or 80 people, no, probably 100 people were volunteering at the fairgrounds yesterday, and we bumped it up to 1,050 vaccinations. That's been in the chat, but I'm just, you know, everybody is happy. You know, everybody is happy to be there. There's no grouches anywhere on the premises. You know, it's really fun. There may even be more UUs there. I know there are several that got shots and several that are volunteering, but we're all masked. So we can't even really tell who everybody is, but it is a joyous time. It really is. And it's a tribute to the community. So
we light this candle.
It's more than a few words. Okay, Graham, you have a concern.
Yes, we have a concern for our daughter, Wendy, in Austin, who has had her share of traumas in the past and now is dealing with a pretty badly damaged house that she was renting for income due to a pipe rupture. And she's not alone. It's one of the serious problems down there. There are hundreds and thousands of people with similar problems, but I would invite you to say a prayer of hope and sustenance for all those who are suffering all over Texas, but in particular in Austin, Houston area.
We light this candle.
I'll add, we were down there this week too, and you know, income inequality cuts across a lot of things. And if your pipes burst and you're a millionaire, that's one thing. If your pipes burst and you're on the margin, that is a whole nother story. So, Sue and Jack. Please unmute.
Sorry about that.
There you go.
I have a sorrow. I just learned last Thursday that my niece, who's my sister's youngest daughter, was diagnosed with colon cancer. She's very early in her staging and all that kind of stuff. So we don't have any idea what the prognosis might be, but she's 44. She's a 7-year-old son and husband. And so if I could just ask you to keep her in your prayers, that would be great. And I do have a joy. Jack and I both have had both our vaccinations, and we are so happy. I barely got through it myself, but
anyway. We light this candle.
Thanks.
Ruby, you're next.
Hello. I have a joy. My daughter Jocelyn's home. She came home to surprise me for my 10th year of surviving a grueling bone marrow transplant. Happy to be alive and most happy to have my daughter here with me.
We light this candle.
Catherine B. Please unmute.
Yes, there we go. Can you hear me? Yeah. This is for my husband, Ted. He has to have some endodontic, can no one hear me? Oh, he has to have some endodontic surgery. And the only person he can work with is, you know, who's not very, very far away. We have some concerns about some of the COVID safety in the office and some of the protocols. And we feel a little bit vulnerable because we can't go somewhere else. And so I'd like to ask, first of all, that we keep in our if you pray, you're reading your prayers, but certainly in your thoughts, first of all, for Ted's safety, of course, that's most important to me, but also that this office undergo some soul searching and reconsideration of some of their policies and the unconcern that they displayed.
We light this candle.
Thank you.
Judith S.
Let me unmute. I have a joy. My mother, who's 87, was scheduled to get the vaccine. She lives in Connecticut, but there was a blizzard so that she couldn't get it. So she is getting it Tuesday, her first shot, and I'm so happy and thankful that she is.
We light this candle.
Steve, or Iris, I guess. Iris has a joy.
I have a joy that Hesperus opened back up again.
And we will light this candle for that joy.
All right, any last call? I don't see anyone else. Any other chats? I think that's it, Reverend Katie.
All right, then this last one, May this last candle symbolize all the silent prayers that we hold in our hearts. And may we hold close all of these appeals. During the month of February, as we honor Black History Month, we'll name by ethnicity the authors who are Black. Our prayer today comes from the Reverend Alicia Ford. Alicia serves with the Unitarian Universalist Association as the director of the International Office. She is a graduate of the Iliff School of Theology, as am I, and she currently lives in Longmont, Colorado. Alicia was born and spent her formative years in Trinidad and Tobago. She identifies as an African descent queer, cisgender female with deep roots in Tobago. She considers herself bicultural and is grateful that her formative years enabled her to cultivate a global perspective. Alicia is a certified spiritual director and has a strong interest in health and wellness. When she's not hiking, you can find her reading, working out, or podcast walking. Accompanying our prayer today will be photographs taken by our member, Robert Winslow. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from love abundant. My help comes from the hills. My help, it comes from ancient mothers whose hearts beat in mine. It comes from the trees that sway and the breeze that sways them. My help comes from all that was and is and will ever be. I lift my eyes, hushed by the soothing touch of waves, caressing wounded shores, wounded souls. I lift my eyes to the horizon, bathed by the hum of mothers and mothers' mothers, cradling, gently rocking. I lift my voice, call of the sea, trees, sister moon, mother earth. My soul weeping, a symphony of life overflowing. I give myself. I too hum through every pore. With every breath, I give myself an extension of all that is, was, and ever will be. Let us hold silence for just a moment. Blessed be, and amen, amen, ashe. And for our meditative music in Latin, we'll hear Ubi Caritas Deus Ibi Est, where charity and love are, God abides. Okay, one more moment for meditation. Here we go. Mm-hmm.
beautiful. Seeing all the words in the chat about how wonderful that absolutely was wonderful. So, our children's story this week, another nod to our theme of beloved community. This time we're going to think, how do you build beloved community? Well, it starts by opening your heart. James?
Welcome to Story Time with Mrs. Parker. Today's reading is The Other Side by Jacqueline Woodson. Illustrations by E.B. Lewis. The Other Side. That summer, the fence that stretched through our town seemed bigger. We lived in a yellow house on one side of it. White people lived on the other, and Mama said, "Don't climb over that fence when you play." She said it wasn't safe. That summer there was a girl who wore a pink sweater. Each morning she climbed up on the fence and stared over at our side. Sometimes I stared back. She never sat on that fence with anybody. That girl didn't. Once, when we were jumping rope, she asked if she could play. And my friend Sandra said no, without even asking the rest of us. I don't know what I would have said. Maybe yes, maybe no. That summer, everyone and everything on the other side of that fence seemed far away. When I asked my mama why, she said, "Because that's the way things have always been." Sometimes when me and mama went into town, I saw that girl with her mama. She looked sad sometimes, that girl did. "Don't stare," my mama said. "It's not polite." It rained a lot that summer. On rainy days, that girl sat on the fence in a raincoat. She let herself get all wet and acted like she didn't even care. Sometimes I saw her dancing around in puddles, splashing and laughing. Mama wouldn't let me go out in the rain. "That's why I brought you rainy day toys," my mama said. "You stay inside here where it's warm, safe, and dry." But every time it rained, I looked for that girl, and I always found her somewhere near the fence. Someplace in the middle of the summer, the rain stopped. When I walked outside, the grass was damp, and the sun was already high up in the sky. And I stood there with my hands up in the air. I felt brave that day. I felt free. I got close to the fence, and that girl asked me my name. "Clover," I said. "My name's Annie," she said. "Annie Paul. I live over yonder," she said, "by where you see the laundry. That's my blouse hanging on the line." She smiled then. She had a pretty smile. And then I smiled. And we stood there looking at each other, smiling. "It's nice up on this fence," Annie said. "You can see all over." I ran my hand along the fence. I reached up and touched the top of it. "A fence like this was made for sitting on," Annie said. She looked at me sideways. "My mama says I shouldn't go on the other side," I said. My mama says the same thing, but she never said nothing about sitting on it. Neither did mine, I said. That summer, me and Annie sat together on that fence. And when Sandra and them looked at me funny, I just made believe I didn't care. Some mornings, my mama watched us. I waited for her to tell me to get down from that fence before I break my neck or something. But she never did. I see you made a new friend, she said one morning. And I nodded, and Mama smiled. That summer, me and Annie sat on that fence and watched the whole wide world around us. One day, Sandra and them were jumping rope near the fence, and we asked if we could play. I don't care, Sandra said. And when we jumped, Sandra and me were partners, the way we used to be. When we were too tired to jump anymore, we sat up on the fence, all of us in a long line. Someday somebody's gonna come along and knock this old fence down, Annie said. And I nodded. Yeah, I said. Someday.
How do you build beloved community? It starts by opening your heart. And kids, join us now by clicking on the link in the chat line as we continue our work on our anti-racism play. And congregants, mark your calendar and watch the Friday announcement for our March 27th presentation of Black Lives Matter, a talk show by kids. Kids, see you in a minute.
Beloved community, I invite you to type into the chat what you understand that phrase to mean. There is no right or wrong. In fact, your understanding will contribute to the larger shared definition of the concept. Love, equality, kindness, shared community to each other, connecting, people we can count on, respect and striving to understand differences, e pluribus unum, sharing, compassion, golden rule, equal justice, we are responsible. A trusted and loved surrounding. We are all interconnected, honoring inclusion, unconditional love, relationship, interdependence. My dear friend, the Reverend Darcy Baxter, describes beloved community like this. The phrase itself has a soft, sentimental ring to it. It conjures up images of tranquility, peace, perhaps even the utter absence of struggle or things that irritate and disturb. But I think that initial softness and sentimentality is there to lure you in before you quite grasp what it is you got lured into. And what we all have gotten ourselves lured into is an ethic of radical love, a love that goes beyond simplistic notions of justice, care, or affinity. Aha, beloved community is complex and it needs all of our input to build it. I hope by now you have received in the mail that beautiful mailing from this congregation inviting you to engage wholeheartedly with this liberal community of faith. If you've not seen one of these, please type your name in the chat right now, and we'll have our stewardship folks get one out to you, toot sweet. I love this card as a visual manifestation of the possibility of creating beloved community, the collaborative creation of so many members of stewardship: Kathleen Adams, Sherrod Beal, Bobby Myers, Shannon Orndorff, Robert Winslow, and others. I see the doors to the sanctuary sculpted almost like a layered oil painting. And before we open them, we might imagine or hope what we could generate inside. Maybe something like the Chaplaincy Institute's Shirley Strong's definition of the beloved community as an inclusive, interrelated society based on love, justice, compassion, responsibility, shared power, and a respect for all people, places, and things, a society that radically transforms individuals and restructures institutions. 19th century philosopher Josiah Royce, who first coined this concept, had a more old-fashioned language, of course. He said, "The centrality of action intended to realize a sound ideal that one has freely embraced." And then during his studies at Boston University, Martin Luther King Jr.'s interpretation of that beloved community became an ideal that might actually be realized. It helped fix his faithful dedication to the civil rights movement of the 1950s and 60s and our ultimate obligations. We need to name new images for beloved community in the 21st century. Womanist theologian Marcia Riggs acknowledges that speaking of the salad bowl or the mosaic is certainly better than calling us a melting pot of diverse community. And yet she goes on to contend that we must grapple for new images for a 21st century understanding of what beloved community is to begin practicing it. Professor Riggs says, when we become a society and church that acknowledges and respects the differences, identities, and cultural legacies among us, then we will have the basis for becoming a beloved community that is a moral community. I'm reminded of the brilliant UU minister and ethicist from the mid-20th century, James Luther Adams. JLA lived in Germany in the 1930s and was active in the clandestine resistance to the rise of Nazism. In a summation of his life and theology later on, he used the metaphor from the biblical story of David and Goliath. In the Jewish story, a teenager, David, manages to defeat the giant Goliath on the field of battle with a sling and 5 stones. It's a violent story, yet the action prevented 2 armies from colliding. There was 1 death instead of thousands. Let me invite Tim, our worship associate, to help me with this responsive reading of those stones. We gather as Unitarian Universalists to understand, articulate, and live our liberal religion David brought down the giant Goliath with five smooth stones, but we use our five smooth stones to build a more just, loving, and free world. Our first stone reminds us that we are part of a living tradition in which revelation is continuous.
Together, we engage in a free and responsible search for truth and meaning.
Our second stone reminds us that we freely choose to enter into relationship and community with one another.
Together, as people of conscience, we build relationships of justice, equity, and compassion that further the wholeness of the interdependent web of all existence.
Our third stone reminds us that we have a moral obligation to work toward establishing a just and loving community.
Together, we speak and act prophetically with the goal of world community, with peace, liberty, and justice for all.
Our fourth stone reminds us that good things happen as a result of human effort.
Together, as beings with inherent worth and dignity, we create goodness and virtue.
Our fifth stone reminds us that the divine and human capacities for achieving meaningful change are reason for optimism.
Together, we may be hopeful that change will occur towards a more just, loving, and free world.
The roots of our living tradition have been developed over centuries, but new ideas and understandings are still being revealed.
Some stones are smooth and polished, while others are newly found and rough.
We are part of this living tradition. Through it, we become whole. And through us, our tradition becomes whole. How else might we describe these stones? Unbinding the oppressed, or as my colleague Jude Grieger says, how do we end racism, homophobia, classism, and misogyny? Living in the Rockies, some of our leaders created what they call the five jagged rocks. And these are they. There is a unity that makes us one with a corrective effect on systems of oppression. Salvation occurs in this life. And we have what we need to transform the world. All souls are sacred and worthy. We are all potential sources of good in the world, and each of us has a role to play. The transforming power of courageous love. We have an obligation to work toward justice and love. And finally, the last jagged rock, truth continues to be revealed. In the unfolding of the human spirit, we continuously experience life in new ways. And here is a graphic to help me understand the wide interpretation of our theology and how we might begin to live in a kind of notion of the beloved community. Does this action or view leave room for the ongoing evolution of the human spirit? Does it draw me closer into mutually supportive community, seek to bring more harmony and more equity? Am I living into this holy work? Does it remind me to live with hope? To me, this is the significance of this congregation working to create new and dynamic mission and vision statement for these times. We're seeing that we've got more that we want to do, be, and become. As we attempt to create and complete a mission and vision statement for UUFD, I've been hearing you say who you believe we are and want to be, growing in deed and action, getting more comfortable, telling the story about this open-hearted faith that loves us into greater spiritual development, this place of love beyond belief, equipping our children and youth with the tools they need for spiritual faith formation, both in understanding their own Unitarian Universalism and the pluralistic world in which they live, and engaging with the larger community to accomplish something larger than we ever could do with ourselves alone. You may have more thoughts that I didn't capture. Go ahead, type your thoughts into the chat now. We will include them as we begin to craft a brief statement that says who we are and who we want to be. This work is building, growing, and dancing the beloved community into being. Let's just see if anybody put anything in there. Oh, good. We're going to send out a brochure, and I'll let you think of what else might go into our mission statement. Our charge in bringing about the beloved community is to nurture moral imagination, to form from the smallest things into transformed lives, to have a safe place to welcome in babies, and to carefully companion our dear ones safely on at the end of their lives, to do all of this in the context of widening the circle. As we open the doors to this sanctuary, whether that is in brick and mortar or through the imagination, what gifts can we bring? Will we see our chalice burning brightly? What efforts might we grow? Where will we be challenged to stretch, to repair, to forgive, to love? So, until we are together again, know that I love you. Amen. Amen. Ashe. Blessed be.
As many of you probably know, there are three ways you can donate. Shannon is putting instructions in the chat. You can mail a check to the church. On our website, you can click on the donate button and follow the prompts to the Sunday collection, or share the plate, or any other form of donation you want to make, or you can donate via text. We've been doing this for, 6, 8 months, something like that with text. I think we have about 15 people who regularly donate to text. I got to think, at least with Share the Plate Sunday, if not regular Sunday collections, more people would do it. So it's really pretty easy to do if you just capture that number, that 833 number, and you can do it afterwards. Like Share the Plate Sunday, anything from Share the Plate Sunday through the Friday after will get attributed to Share the Plate, not just regular Sunday collection. So we could sure use a little more adoption of the text message feature. For offering words this morning, I'll keep them brief. This church is a community of ourselves. Its energy and resources are our energy and resources. Its wealth is what we share. As we contribute to the life of this community, we affirm our lives within it. The morning offering will be gratefully received.
Our closing song today is We Are Dancing Sarah's Circle, which is sung by Robert and Susie Bowe with their friends Evelyn and Bill Snyder, and danced by our spirit movers, Marilyn Leftwich, Lisa McCory, Bonnie Miller, and Kathleen Devine. The tune is that of the familiar traditional hymn, Jacob's Ladder. Fellow UU Carol Etzler Engelhart wrote this alternate text using the story of Sarah found in Genesis 17 and 18. The circle dance is an ancient traditional dance involving an entire community. When the text was written some 45 years ago, we did not have an understanding of non-binary language. Sisters, brothers, all might today be better expressed as family, neighbors, all. Let's all sing.
Dancing Sarah's Circle, we are dancing Sarah's Circle, we are dancing Sarah's Circle.
Oops, there. How about Tim will extinguish the chalice from his home, and I will extinguish the chalice from my home. And if you have a chalice lit at your home, I invite you to extinguish it. The words today that send us out come from Reverend Yvonne Seen, who is the first UU female Black minister that was ordained by All Souls Unitarian Church in Washington, D.C. back in 1981. And it's so cool. She's also the mom of comedian and social observer Dave Chappelle. And here are the words that send us out. Each of us comes from a different place, yet all we are one. We carve for ourselves our own unique space, yet all we are one. We learn how to speak, eat, dress, cook, and play in different ways. Of common homeland, we have not a trace, yet all we are one. We kill, maim, and harm one another with not thought for God's will. We forget the one God and the one grace, yet all we are one. On a mountain in East Africa, near Old Uvai Gorge, our common mother Eve says that we come from one human race, and all we are one. Go and build the beloved community. May it be so. Amen. Please stay with us and join us in a small group that we'll have in just a few minutes. Take care, everyone. So wonderful to be with you.